right, this is a long time in the making. About over a year ago now, we did an episode titled He Didn't Eat for 8 Years, where we talked to our buddy, Zach Barber, about a condition that he had that prevented him from eating solid food for a long time. He ended up beating that. We talked about that. We also got into his podcast, Rice Cakes and Pears. But today is a very special day because we're going to get an update on all of that and much more because Zach is with us right now. Zach, thank you for coming back. Much appreciated.
Yo.
Dude. I think I just called you Zach's, plural. There's not multiple of you. Sorry.
I wish that there were multiple.
You have honestly. Multiple personalities?
Probably.
But not diagnosed.
Yeah, not diagnosed.
Okay,
dude.
Cool. It's man, great to see you back.
It gives you
man.
An adrenaline. Yeah, dude. It's so good. It's so good to be back in the podcast space. This is the first like interview I've done in almost over a year. It's crazy.
So we have a hot interviewer. This is a hot topic. We have you. Why you gave us the first interview, huh?
Yeah, dude. Wow. No, I had to.
Wow.
Had
thank to. You. This is going to be a big headline all over the place. We got Zach out of hiding, out of seclusion. This is going to be great. Everybody wants to know where you've been and what you have been doing. So first, I want to get into the condition that you had. If you want to get the nitty gritty, like real details of it, because trust me, if you haven't heard that episode, you really are going to want to hear that whole crazy story. But Zach, please do me a favor and kind of summarize what condition you had and how you overcame that.
Yeah, for sure. So, I have a disease where it's called eosinophilic esophagitis. Rolls off the tongue.
Oh yeah.
And and so my white blood cells mistake food as a germ. And I was diagnosed when I was 12, and really the symptoms can vary a little bit from person to person, but my symptoms for me personally was I would throw up after eating food. I'd get really bad stomach pain, get really nauseous, and honestly just get tons of brain fog, feel really fatigued. And it really plagued my life for a lot of years. I'm 26 now. So at age 12, I was diagnosed, and then things just got crazy. It's still a rare disease today, but there's been a lot more research, and I'll get into that because I've been feeling a lot better past couple years. Beautiful. But for a long time, honestly, like I couldn't tolerate food. So when I was 15, I was put on a medical formula diet, which sucks. And I was on that for 8 years. Ended up getting a G tube, and then the only safe foods I could tolerate for many years was rice cakes and pears, which was the name of my podcast.
And liquid shakes, right?
Yeah. Just like it. The it's funny because it says for ages 1 and up.
Yeah.
And I have a baby now, and I've thought I'd love to have her try it. You know, you just eat formula together. It'd be so sick.
Yeah. But back to the old days, huh?
Back to the old days,
I don't know if I could look at that if I were you. I'd be like, oh, get that out. I can't even look at that right now.
Yeah, it's so nasty. But its name is Elicare Jr., which makes you feel really good about yourself.
Right. So then you ended up overcoming that how?
Yeah, so in 2020, I ended up, striking out on meds, striking out on everything. And I live in Utah, and I went to the University of Utah. They actually have some good specialists up there for my disease, EOE for short. And they pretty much had these samples of meds that weren't FDA approved. And at this point I tried everything, and they're just like, every time I come into a visit, they're like, I'm sorry, I can't help you. it's really just like a conversation just to catch up, honestly. And they listen to me vent, but this time they're like, look, we have these samples. We don't know if they'll work, but we want you to eat again so bad. And so they gave me these meds, and it was a little bit of a slow process, but it's like the med is an injection. So it's a biologic, I guess. And so I just get an injection every 2 weeks, and it's allowed me to tolerate food again. It targets the white blood cells, the eosinophils. And so that sounds kind of scary because you kind of need white blood cells, but so far so good, I guess.
Yeah. Also, it's an injection. I don't remember that from the previous episode. So
yeah,
every 2 weeks you go in and you
main
get a shot.
Right. So the main drug is an injection. I do take a few pills to kind of assist, but the main, the heavy lifting is done by the injection.
Beautiful. And how long have you been on the meds now?
So it's been a little over 3 years. It's crazy.
Wow, beautiful. And all is well.
Yeah, you know, all is well. It's the disease is still there. I still get some fatigue.
Okay.
But I can't complain at this point. I'm like 80% like better. Wow. I'll take it. I think with rare diseases too, like, I don't know if you'll ever be completely better. And so anything I can get is like such a huge blessing.
Yeah. You can hold food down, which is like, that's it. That's what you want it for. You can hold the food down and you can eat. And three years, dude. I don't see you with like an extra eye. All your hair is there. Your skin isn't yellow. Your teeth look like they're there. I mean, all looks well. Is that true? Or are there things latent within you that we don't know about?
Yeah, no, dude, all is well. All is great, man. I every year I feel like I get stronger.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
You know, feeling good physically, mentally, that's another story, but I'm happy to talk about that. I'm definitely getting a lot better for sure.
Okay, good. I mean,
working on myself a lot.
We know that anything's better than looking out the window and thinking ISIS is coming, because that's what was happening, right?
Yeah,
so you
dude,
haven't,
yeah.
ISIS is not outside anymore, right? Not
yeah,
in
dude,
a long
no,
time.
No, no. No ISIS attacks, no like crazy car chases with nobody behind you.
Okay, good. It's been great. That's where you started. And now that's a real story too. Cause you were having a hard time mentally, right? At the time you were on like a mission trip or something.
Yeah. Yeah. Serving a church mission. So I'm a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, kind of a mouthful, Mormons.
Right.
That's very easily recognizable. That's what that church is.
Right.
And so I was out there for 2 years and I went out, Eden Rice Repairs. You just go out trying to help people, obviously teach people about Christ. It's a good opportunity to get thick skin because everyone, you know, doesn't want to talk to you, which is fine. But dude, that's probably where I picked up my sales skills, because I just smile at people.
Trying to sell and Jesus.
Like, I really enjoyed it though, because I wasn't, I guess there are missionaries who are knocking the doors and, you know, are robots a little bit, but I just can never be like that. So I get really weird and make funny jokes. And that was kind of the majority of my mission. But as far as the eating thing, I was on rice, pears. And then at one point I started becoming allergic to rice and pears, which was such a bummer.
One thing you can have.
Right. Yeah. And so I was like on water only and my G tube with medical formula for several months, and then I pretty much just pushed myself way past my limit, and one day I woke up and thought, you know, ISIS is after me, and it was such a surreal experience. It really broke me down. I think it wasn't just that event. I think leading up to it, I was kind of breaking mentally and not realizing it. And so in some ways it's cool to look back at that, because I pretty much lost all ability to deal with any type of stress, whether it was a conversation. Like if I tried to have a conversation with you, this 2018, I came home, I would have like started twitching or like not being able to move, freeze.
Yeah. It happens to me all the time, besides like people I like you. So I feel that.
Yeah, dude, it's crazy, man. Yeah. It helps when you have homies to talk to, but it's good, man. It's like, I don't know. There's ups and downs. That's life. But I feel mentally there are a lot of ups and downs for me, but I've gotten to a point where I can handle a lot of things, handle stress, handle being a dad, which has been crazy.
Right. We'll get to that.
Yeah, dude, life's good.
That.
Yeah. Yeah, we will.
Definitely. So it's been 3 years since you can eat, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So how's that going? What are you eating right now? What's on the menu usually?
Yeah, dude. I ate some orange chicken before this.
Beautiful.
It was really good.
Beautiful.
Dude, I eat like every morning. I get a bagel and then cook two eggs. I don't like scrambled eggs. I think they taste different.
Really?
What do you do?
What do you
I think they got a different
taste.
What are
you doing? Fried? What are you doing?
So, fried it easy over. Is that what they call it? Where you flip
easy?
It over? The yolk
over
kind
easy,
of fries
yeah.
a little bit.
Yeah. Do you leave it where the yolk is coming out a little bit? Where it's,
yeah.
It
so
open?
It depends on my mood. Sometimes I like it to just, you know, drip everywhere.
There you
it's
go.
Great.
There you go. That's
yeah.
what she said.
Sometimes just a little residue is great, but yeah.
Got
do that
you.
Every morning.
Got you. So I'm really happy that you're still doing well and the medicine is still working right and no bad effects.
Yeah, honestly, there's not really. I actually switched. So the med that allowed me to eat, I was on for 3 years, and then I switched to one that does the same thing but has less side effects. And okay. So I started that about a month ago. I feel better.
Wow. So you're having no side effects, and I got even less than none. You have negative now. You're in the negative side effects.
Beautiful. Yeah, dude, it's great.
Beautiful. So you were doing a podcast called Rice, Cakes, and Pears. In September of last year, you recorded your final episode. What made you want to leave podcasting?
Yeah. So it was a variety of things. So something that I've struggled with for a long time, and I think creators struggle with this to a certain extent, is I would determine my worth by, you know, how successful an episode was. But I was aware of that, and I knew that wasn't a good way to think, but it kept coming back at me. And I just remember feeling really stressed out a lot of the time. So that was part of it. That wasn't the main reason, though. The biggest reason was my wife got pregnant, and I started thinking, you know, I'm transitioning to more of a full-time job, and it sounds a little bit lame, but I kind of just wanted to focus on that and just focus on, you know, being with my family. I also found myself, and we were talking this a little bit too, like, When you're creating something, it's your baby, you're thinking about it all the time. And so I also found that it kind of took away from my wife and I's relationship sometime, where like we'd be out and be like, yo, this is a perfect opportunity for content. Like, we should shoot this. She's like, no, like, I want to just hang out. Like,
just chill,
this is our date night, bro.
Yeah.
And so it got in the way just a little bit. But the main thing is that I just wanted to focus on, you know, my family and not worrying so much about creating stuff. But yeah, and it's just a variety of things.
Well, let me tell you, that's not lame, because you were like, that is going to be lame for me to say that I don't want to be thinking about my podcast 24/7. That's totally not lame. That's totally understandable, because I feel like that's a thing that I try not to do, is like, I try not to make everything content. And I think there was a point in time where I wanted to be like that, but now I don't even want to be like that, where I'm like, I don't even want to do that. Like, I don't want to bring a camera out 24/7. I don't want to like make everything about, you know, like make everything a piece of content. So I totally agree with you there. So it was a couple of things going on with the mental health aspect of it, and you just didn't want to interfere with your family life anymore.
Yeah, yeah. And I've always, you know, I think because I'm 26, born in 97, it's kind of on that cusp of like, you didn't grow up with technology, but you did once you started, you know, high school.
Yeah.
And I think it really just affected my brain, just like the shallowness of social media. And that's just something I think it's just a weakness of mine, where I just, you know, fall into that mindset of like, oh, I'm not worth anything. Like,
right,
no one cares. And that's definitely something I've really loved working on over the past year, is like learning how to just like love myself, enjoy, you know, what I created, because I'm really, really proud of it. And I'm so glad it's out there. Like, right. I can't wait to show Nora those episodes. And I'm so glad that I created those episodes and met so many people, especially you, dude.
Thank you. Thank you. Same. Likewise. So thanks, was there, bro. Like, why did you start podcasting again? I forgot why you said you initially got into it.
So since 2018, that's where I kind of hit that rock bottom, mental health wise, physically. And I really had to rehabilitate, you know, my ability to deal with stress. And pretty much like, I was trying to go the normal route of, you go to college after you graduate high school. I did my mission trip, right? That's kind of a cultural thing. You go on a mission, do that stuff. And when I came back, I was like, all right, I'm going to go to college. And I kept like, my body kept shutting down every time I went to school, because the stress got too much. And I just would like, you know, start seeing shadows or start having weird, bizarre thoughts that weren't just like crazy thoughts that come in every now and then. They were very like loud and just very alarming. And it happened every time I had stress. And I think I dropped out like once or twice before. And in 2020, it's when I started the meds. Things are going great, but still my stress tolerance, I think those are connected, but also not. And so I ended up dropping out again that fall. And I had so much time on my hands, and it was an interesting time, because at a point where I was starting to eat food again. And I started just reflecting a lot of like, I have this a ton of time right now. And I just felt like really inspired one afternoon or evening just to like create a podcast based off everything I believe in, which is that everyone deserves to have a voice. I think we live in a weird time where if you don't agree with someone, you're like evil. Yeah. It's like you're doing yourself a disservice by not surrounding yourself with different minded individuals with different backgrounds. And I also just felt like it would be cool to bring a voice to the chronic illness space, to people who have gone through really difficult situations. And I was still going through it at the time, so it was almost a little bit therapeutic for me.
Right. So how do you feel now that you haven't been podcasting for almost a year?
Yeah, I feel good. I feel really at peace. I know it sounds cheesy, but when you know, like, let's say you meet someone or like something just feels right, you can kind of feel it in your gut. I felt at that time, because I ended up taking a break like 3 months before officially ending the podcast. Right. And I was like, I'm going to take this break. And I really like, I cannot wait to come back and just come back swinging, you know, finding guests. I was ready to just go hard. And I just kind of had like this epiphany that it was time for me to move on. It's kind of hard to explain.
No, I agree with you 100% when you say that, like when you get those feelings, because I often talk about those when it's like, you know, you feel it. There's no real way to articulate it and you can't explain it. It's just something you know internally. And I get those a lot. And that's when I make a decision on something. Like if I really, a lot of times that happens to me. And like sometimes I'm like, well, you know, so-and-so is not going to like this, but I know this is the right move. Or I might not like it, but I know this is the right move. But generally that feeling is accompanied with a feeling of peace. Like that notion or that thought you get is usually not like a stressful thing. It's more like you just know about it. It's like you feel it and it feels good almost, or it just feels like nothing. It's just like, oh yeah, that's what it's going to be now. It's not like, oh my God, it has to be this way. Like that's the kind of like your ego, I think, talking.
Yes.
But when you know something, it's hard to articulate like you're saying, but it's just like a download, like boom. And it's like, that's it. That's what it is. So yeah, I'm glad that you're saying that, because I finally know somebody else that feels that way. Yeah, I get that a lot when it comes to the show. You know, like people ask me like, how does the show come about? And it's like, it just comes to me. Like, oh, I don't know who's going to be on what episode or what's going to be what. I don't really sit there and think about it a lot of times. I don't sit here with a pencil and paper and I'm just like, okay, this episode, I'm going to do this. It's just kind of like, oh, that's what we're going to do? Okay, great. It just kind of comes and that's it. And same thing with the bigger picture of the show. It's like, okay, well, we're going to do that. That feels right, you know? So long story short, I definitely feel the same way. So that's good that you felt that, you didn't fight that. You didn't feel, did you feel like any kind of ego about that? Like, oh, I'm quitting. This is not right. Like you feel bad about it.
Totally. I felt like, you know, I'm giving up. Like I had talked with a few, or one guest in particular, where he's kind of saying, you know, like almost like, not like he's looking down on people who have that mindset or give up because of social media, because it's kind of like letting the big man win. But yeah, I definitely had kind of those, I don't know, the negative voice coming back at me saying, you know, you're a quitter. You're not, you know, this could have been something so much more. But for the most part, it was an overwhelming, it's, you're right. It's not overwhelming, but it's just like a peaceful download.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly. Yeah. And just to say, like, who's to say that it is over? You never know when things come back around. So, I mean, it's totally possible. It's not like you deleted the episodes. They're still up there. You're not, like, ashamed of it. So, do you ever think may be a time that you may circle back and do it again?
Definitely, yeah. And I think it's one thing that's really cool, I feel like, us, you know, connecting, is I feel like we both have that open mindset of going with the flow.
Yeah.
Feel it out. One comment I was thinking of is, what one thing I love about your podcast, whenever I listen, it's very much go with the flow. You're not trying to force anything, but you're also very prepared, which is like the coolest thing.
I try to be.
Dude, that's like my biggest, that was my biggest like focus, like, or I felt like it was my greatest asset was the preparation. I'd look up to my idol Nardwar and just see this guy.
Oh, he's like, that's prepared as it gets.
The most prepared. And it's honestly affected the way I do business now. Cause I work with a lot of, small to medium sized businesses, and I help them grow their business online. And so we provide all sorts of services. And so when I first meet them, I'm able to like do a deep dive and kind of stalk them a little bit and just like surprise them with all this weird knowledge.
Yeah. Do you feel like you have a creative, are you scratching the creative itch in any other area of your life?
Honestly, at work, I have a lot of freedom. It's almost like a quarterback role where I have to collaborate with tons of people and come up with creative solutions.
Right.
And so for now, I'm definitely scratching that itch, which has been really fun.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. Cause I'm sure if you didn't, you'd go crazy probably.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Dude, being creative is such an outlet.
Yeah. That's the one thing I hate in life is when I'm not being creative. Like almost anything could be going on, but if that's not there, I'm like, feel like a mess, you know? Like, if I'm not doing the show, I want to be working on something secret on the side that I'm working on that nobody knows about yet. And if I'm not doing that, my life doesn't really feel full to me.
Yeah.
So I'm glad that you're scratching that itch, you know, because I think a lot of people that get into podcasting may just do it because it's a podcast and they're not necessarily creative, and no shade to them. But, you know, I always wonder, I really didn't know, are you like, if you were a creative person or was it just something you did as a hobby? So you're more like actually a creative person.
Yeah, dude, I love the creative process. I hate not being original, and that kind of fuels me to want to be creative and do my own thing.
Yeah,
I think because I have been different from a young age, everyone has differences, but like having a feeding tube, having a disease, I've always felt different from people. And I, at first, you know, you kind of resent it, but over time, like, this is my superpower. Like, I love being different. And so I just, dude, being creative, doing your own thing, creating something that you can look back on is just so fun.
Yeah. Well, you know, being different is going to make whatever you're doing much more creative, because you're going to be showing them something they've never seen before. I've never heard of that condition until you told me about it. So it's like, wow, like that was, and you know, we got good feedback on that episode because it was a great story. So if you're from a different world, essentially, from somebody, then your thing's automatically going to be different because you're different, you know?
Yeah.
And that was the good thing about your show, was everybody you brought on was different. And that was from what you said before. That was the whole gimmick of your show, for lack of a better word, is that we're going to talk to somebody that's from a whole different planet, essentially. Like, we don't even know, like, this is like, we've never seen this before. Like, this is a new, like, a condition of, it's like TLC, but better, not as exploitative.
Dude, shout out to TikTok though. Cause like, without that platform, I don't know how I would discover as many people as I did. It is such a cool place. Cause I feel like if people are on TikTok, they're comfortable at least talking about themselves online, at least on that app.
Yeah.
And so my thought process was, and it was obviously, I'd reach out to people that I liked, you know, that I was interested in or resonated with, but it was just, it's crazy how you can just connect with so many different people on there.
Yeah. And TikTok is the Wild West. Like, anybody can get on.
Wild West.
Anybody could get bumped up into the algorithm. It's not like Facebook or YouTube where it's like pay to play or whatever, or Instagram. It's like anybody could blow up in a second. And yeah, there's a lot of sides to TikTok, and you'll see a lot of interesting people on there. So that's where you are. Are you still on, going through TikTok pretty frequently? It's unescapable. It's an addiction.
Dude, it's addictive for sure. And it's crazy. I feel like TikTok is, I don't know, it's not bigger than Google, but it's definitely, I feel like it's competing as another search engine. God, like, people go on there to search.
Yeah, people get there a lot of information about what's going on through
TikTok. Yeah, even news.
Yeah, because I'm sure people do live feeds and stuff. Like, when I used to be on Periscope, there'd be a lot of news live feeds on there, and I would just watch them to find out what's going on in the world. So I'm only assuming the same thing is going on with TikTok.
Yeah. No, yeah. I think the draw too is the transparency that TikTok brings. Like, sure, you have people who have like the perfect film editing, but like, the ones that go viral are the ones that are just look real.
It. Yeah, just doing it. Exactly. So you have a new addition to the family. We alluded to it. We've talked about it a little bit here and there earlier in the show.
Yeah.
You said Nora. Who is that?
Nora Lucy Barber. She was born January 5th, 2023.
Oh, she was born the day after me. I forgot about that. Nice. Yeah. She's a Capricorn?
Yeah. Is that the... Because I'm Aquarius, so I thought she was Aquarius, but I'm at the end of January. Is that the one before?
Yeah, that's the one before. Okay. Because I'm the sixth Capricorn. Nice, nice. Beautiful, yeah. Man. So how's that going?
It's going great. It was... Dude, being a dad is awesome, but I can't speak for everyone because I feel like not everyone's prepared to be a dad. And I felt like I don't think anyone will ever be fully prepared just because no one prepares you to be a dad.
Well, if really, anybody's going to be you, because you're prepared. If anybody's going to be prepared, it's going to be you. Let's be real. You are prepared.
Yeah. And, but, oh man, I had a lots of, you know, anxieties. I was nervous, but mostly just so excited. And when she came, man, it was again one of those gut feelings where it's a download moment. You feel peace.
This is it.
Obviously the birth was an adrenaline rush. My wife killed it, but like so crazy.
Did you faint?
But when you're holding her in your arms, she's just like a little alien. It's just so it's unreal. It's like it's a very divine feeling. It feels you just feel really connected, like your souls connect, and it's special. It's really hard, but it's special, and it's very fulfilling, I've found for myself.
Did you faint during the childbirth? Be honest. Be real.
Dude, my wife was joking that I would, and I didn't. I was so, like, intrigued. I was like, what the freak? There's a head coming out. Like, this is insane.
You know, for somebody that was talking about their symptoms being exacerbated by stress, you picked... The most, besides like maybe going to war, the most, and even you don't do a tour for 18 years. You're doing an 18 year tour right now. You have a baby. I mean, how's your stress level been from the pregnancy till now?
Dude, ups and downs, but I feel like Aubrey and I have built a really strong foundation where if I'm having a bad day, she's not going to be like, frick you, dude. Like you're supposed to be a good husband, like all this stuff. Like, and it's always a 50-50. No one ever gives that 50 every day, but yeah, I definitely have had moments where I'm like, my body's shutting down, Aubrey, I'm so sorry. And she's breastfeeding or like baby's crying. And then I'll do my best to kind of make up for it the next day. So it's definitely tug and pull or whatever. I don't know. We make it work and it's been great.
Well, I mean, if we know anybody's going to be like that, it's Aubrey, because we all know the famous ice cream shop story when you told her, I need to go to the car. ISIS is after me. She was like, well, let's go. Like, what do you mean? Yeah. ISIS, let's shoot him up. Let's go. She was down since day one, man. The first date, like one of the greatest stories that I think I've heard on the show, like greatest first date for sure. She was like, dude, ISIS. She pulled like Tomb Raider 2 guns out. She was like, where they at? Let's go.
Yeah, where and when, dude. Again, the preparation, I really appreciate that. Yeah, dude, that was I feel lucky, man. I met such a cool girl that was so understanding, and I'm glad, you know, I went through that difficult time, but again, I feel like it worked in my favor. I was able to sift through people who wouldn't have been down for that.
Yeah.
Was able to be comfortable in my own skin, tell her about ISIS, and she was down let's to go to
war.
Where?
She was down to go, let's to, go war. To war. And now you're having a baby, which is to me in the same league because listen, if I were you, I'd be using that, my condition as an excuse. Oh, I'd act like I would faint. I'm like, I can't do it today. I gotta go lay down. She's like, you know, you've never used it. She's not around, right? You've never used it. And just because you wanted a day off.
Yo, one thing I'm probably have done it a little bit, but like there's one of my symptoms is like, you know, when you're really tired, you kind of get manically, like you start laughing a lot. Feeling a little manic.
That's probably about 14 hours a day for me. Yeah.
Yeah. If I get stressed sometimes, I will hysterically laugh.
Uh-oh.
And when it's stressful here, it's because, you know, the baby's crying or like my wife's been through the ringer the whole day. And I'll start laughing and it'll really piss her off. And it's funny because she's like, I know it's your symptom, but that really pisses me off. And I totally get it because I'm literally laughing at her face because I'm so stressed.
No. Damn, man. How long you guys been together now?
So 5 years, married 4.
Beautiful. She hasn't thrown anything at you yet while you were laughing at her. Nothing, no projectiles.
Yeah. Yeah, she's such a gentle soul. So she'll walk away or like leave the room, which I respect. But I don't think we've ever gone like more than 24 hours without like not making up after.
Nice, like, beautiful. Something. So that's what you love to hear, man. Love to hear that. So the baby's how old now? I forgot, like a year.
So she's almost 8 months.
8 months. Okay, got it. Yeah. Right. Oh yeah, because it was last January, right?
Yeah.
Beautiful, and. So how is it having an 8-month-old in your house right now?
It's fun. So the first 6 months it's cool. Like, but they're kind of just a lump of nothing. Like, I don't know, like a dead weight a little bit, but right. Still cute. Still, I mean, cute to us, maybe a little funny looking.
Yeah.
But once they hit 6 months, they start, you know, their personality comes out a little bit. They start smiling. And so we're at this point where she's saying dada all the time, which I love.
Did she say that first? Who did she say first? You or mom?
Yeah. She said dada. Oh. I was it was right after an argument where I started laughing. No, I'm just kidding. Oh. But like, yeah, she said she's having trouble saying mama. She says nah, but she's getting there.
Oh man. Yeah. Definitely don't start laughing after that. That's when something will fly. That's when something's going to fly, man. That's amazing. And did you get like three dogs like at the same time as your wife was giving birth or something like that? I remember we were on Instagram, you're like, yeah, I got like 12 dogs in my house. I was like, what?
Yeah, dude, it was funny timing because I guess a year or last April, not this past April, but April 2022 or March. We've been trying to have kids for a year or so, no luck. And so we're like, yeah, let's not try. Like, let's stop trying. Like, we're not gonna put pressure on it. And then as soon as we did that, she got pregnant. And it just happened that our dog Maggie got pregnant. So,
oh my God. Yeah, that was two nuts. Pregnant people in that. How did you do distress again with the stress? How did you deal with that? Dude. Two pregnancies at the same time? How long is a dog pregnant for?
Dude, dogs have a fast pregnancy. It's like 6 weeks.
What?
Yeah.
Oh my God, this sounds like a business opportunity for me. That's what that sounds. Bro, have you cranked out another round or what?
Yeah, dude, it's tempting for sure. We didn't want to put her through it again.
I'd be like, listen, we're getting the neighbor's dog over here every 6 weeks, baby. Bang, bang.
Dude, it's hilarious, man. My Maggie, she's three now, two last year, and she's able to, you know, have puppies, but when we're trying to mate with this other dog that we met, they're the same breed. They're both just humping each other. They're like, they don't know what they're doing. It's the funniest thing.
Well, how many dogs did you end up keeping?
So we kept one. She ended up having five. One passed away because I had a cleft palate. And then the other two, one went to my mother-in-law. So we see that one a lot still. And then the other one went to a family friend.
And what breed is it again?
A mini golden doodle.
Is this a family friendly dog or?
Yeah.
How does it deal with the children? It's good.
Great. Okay. Yeah. So Maggie, the mom, I think since giving birth, she's kind of like, she's a little more cautious or just kind of like wiser, I guess. And then Millie is her daughter and she's just like a ball of sunshine and just wants to lick Nora all the time, which is cute, but we gotta, you know, push her away sometimes.
So that's good that you got the pregnancy from the dog way out of the way before the baby came, right?
It's like, imagine they came at the same time. Good.
The dog was like 8 months by then, right?
Yeah.
And you said you ended up keeping one, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Wow. So you got a full house now. But when we were talking to you, it was just you and the wife. The days were simpler. Are you busier than ever now, even without the podcast?
Yeah. Yes and no. It's like a different kind of busy. So I work working remote now, which is awesome. I'll just roll out of bed, put a hat on, and I'm good to go. Boom. And get off work around 4:30. And then after that, it's kind of hanging out with the wife, but also we gotta, you know, entertain the baby, take care of the baby. So busy in that sense. Just and that's another thing about being a parent. And I'm a novice. Like, it's been 8 months, but your mind is always going. Like, you have to think about, you know, this other human all the time instead of just wanting to numb out on TikTok or just do nothing, which I still do sometimes. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. It's awesome. But your mind's going a lot. It's busy.
Thinking about the mentally. Day. Well, not, I'm glad you freed up space from the podcast. You don't think about the podcast now because that would have kicked it right out.
Yeah, dude. And that was definitely having a kid was like the main motivator. It's like, yeah, I want to be fully present as a dad. And I try to strive for that. And it's been a really good decision. I'm happy I did it.
Beautiful, man. Beautiful. I'd love to see it. And like I was telling you before we got on the air, you're one of the people I love to talk about to my friends. I'm like, yo, I got this friend, Zach. Like he went from here to there. Like he was, you know, in I forgot where you were doing that mission trip. And yeah, you were vomiting everywhere and you were having a mental breakdown. To see where you are now is really amazing, man. To see your life like totally change for the better, to see how great you're doing. I love to see it. So how do you look back? Does it feel like a whole different world? Does it feel like a different you? Because yeah, it was only 3 years ago that you were going through that. Look where you are now. I'm so glad to see it. How does it feel looking back on that time?
Yeah. No, I appreciate it. So it's like, I feel like each year you look back or you learn something about yourself. And then I feel like each year I look back or not each year, but during that year, I'm like, man, I haven't made any progress. And then at the end of the year, you're like, yo, look how far I came. Like I was unable to move. I was unable to get out of the house. And now I have a full-time job. We just bought a house, which we're super blessed.
Yeah.
But I try to look back and appreciate where I came from. And I think that happens a lot with just the faith that I believe in is always trying to, you know, be humble, remember where you came from. I just feel like every year you learn something new and you appreciate even more. Like hindsight's 20/20. You definitely appreciate where you came from. You realize now, whether it's in a couple years, that 5 years ago, 3 years ago, that was for your benefit because it morphed you into a better person.
So that's what you think. You think that time made you who you are today, which is a better person than you would have been if that didn't happen.
Yeah, I definitely wouldn't go through it again.
Yeah,
but it's given me, I don't know if I would have done the podcast, dude. That was like a huge thing too. Like the mental health side of the podcast. I don't know if we would have ever met.
Or met your wife or who knows, you know, you could play this game all day. You never know what.
It's crazy, right? I think it's good to live life without regrets. Not saying you don't not regret things, but letting things be, like being at peace that things happened.
Yeah.
Live in the moment and try and move forward.
Yeah. Are you the kind of person that feels like it was meant to happen, or is everything just chaos in your mind?
Yeah. I think, you know, I think there are like soulmates. You think of soulmates. I think you can have multiple soulmates. I think you can have multiple paths that you can choose to go on, and all of them can be successful. But I think there are some things that are meant to be. But yeah, for the most part, I definitely feel like this was the path I don't know if I necessarily chose, but it was chosen for me, and I've, you know, taken it in stride, and it's just become what it is today.
Yeah, I think there's certain things, I was talking about this yesterday, that is inescapable, that are meant for you.
Yeah.
You will not miss it. Like, good and bad. There's certain things that you'll, you know, maybe you run into somebody or something cool happens or something bad happens, and that's just random. But I think it's very seldom that anything is random. And it's something so big like that, like the way you went through, it was like, and a lot of people may not want to hear it if they're in a bad situation, which is totally fine, respect it, understand it. It's not how you feel. But in my mind, almost everything is like, that's what it was supposed to be. Like, you weren't going to miss it. It was for you, especially if you think about how many things, like maybe, I don't know if you think about, you go back in your mind and go, imagine I got that thing I wanted. Look where it would have ended up. Like, I even think about it with stuff I didn't get or stuff that didn't happen that I really wanted. I'm like, thank God that didn't happen, because look where I'm way better than where I would have been if I would have doing that, or if that fell through, you know, if that came true or whatever. So yeah, I'm big into that camp too, that I think most things are meant to happen and you will not miss it. It ain't going to miss you, you know, it just, but you can't really dwell on it. You just got to just live every day and not really think about it too much, I guess.
Yeah, it paints a beautiful picture when it's you, like you're authentically yourself. All these events that have happened in the past, that's your, you know, your painting, that's who you are today.
Yeah.
And I think too, like, I don't necessarily have like hate for people who, I think everyone goes through stuff, but sometimes people don't go through stuff, the really difficult stuff, until later in life. And you kind of notice that their personalities are a little bit dry.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. That, so it just makes us
more interesting.
Yeah, I've heard that before. So do you have, what do you think got you through all that to where you are now? What do you think it was like the pillars or the mainstays that got you through that? Be it mindset, be it people, like what do you think it was?
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's a good question. One thing that comes to mind is therapy for sure. And I know we're in an era, I guess, where, you know, mental health, people talk about it. It's awesome. Specifically for me, the side of therapy that's helped me a lot is called EMDR. I don't know if you've ever heard of that. So it's a form of therapy where it's like the opposite of talk therapy, where you're talking through your issues or talking through things. It's a form of therapy where you actually don't talk. You just feel through your problems and the therapist is kind of your guide.
Really?
And so, yeah. So a session, for example, is so my therapist, she has these two little vibrating objects that you hold in your hands that kind of go one after the other. And so it's supposed to help you stay present. So when you're processing traumas or things that you've been through, you're able to kind of remember this feeling that's going back and forth, and it keeps you in the moment, and it prevents you from kind of disassociating for the most part. And so I'll be holding these, and then before that, we'll kind of build up with what I'd like to process for the day, whether it be my disease, my anxiety, or a specific event that happened in my past. And then I'll kind of lay back, sit back, and she'll be like, okay, where do you feel that in your body? And so she kind of primes me up, and then I hold these two objects. And then she'll be like, all right, now let whatever happens happen. And so I just hold it and it's completely silent for like a minute or two. And then I just let my mind process for the first time about that event. I'm not forcing anything. And it's really beautiful. It's like everyone has their traumas, their demons. And it's almost like an unwinding of like a tangled piece of, I don't know, whatever, like, it just feels like I'm unwinding for the first time in years since that event.
Wow.
And then it's really cool. And it's been pretty dang effective, honestly. And it gives you confidence. And I think trauma, I mean, the reason we have trauma is because we haven't been able to process it yet. So sometimes we can't process it just through talking.
Do you notice emotional or physical reactions when you start really processing something, like tears or stuff like that?
Yeah. So for me, I feel a lot of this like trauma, like in my head. I feel like almost like a heat flash where it's really hot. So I physically like start to sweat a little bit. and then while I'm processing, it feels like steam is coming out. Like,
wow. like the hot.
Yeah. Yeah. Like the cartoon. Exactly. And, it's exhausting afterwards because you're like, holy crap, I just went through the ringer. But it's like a good feel, kind of like after a really tough workout.
Wow. So how did you get in contact with that lady? How did you get into that type of therapy?
So I originally started, I think 2021, end of the year, I'd gone to talk therapy where you talk through your issues and it was okay. And then again, you kind of just go through your options, see what's out there. And I saw someone did EMDR. They introduced, I think my mom actually suggested it. And so I met with this guy and the way he did it is he did the fingers back and forth. So you watch it. So it's back and forth. I prefer just holding the objects and closing my eyes. It's less, I don't know. It's just easier.
Yeah, that sounds hypnotizing.
Yeah. It's definitely like, has like a hypnotic vibe. Yeah, I just go, I black out.
Yeah, right? That's wild. So that is that's the one thing you would attribute like your perseverance through that bad time through is the therapy?
Yeah. Being able to process, you know, that day where I thought ISIS was after me and days leading up where I didn't even realize I was going through a lot. And kind of unlocking these memories that maybe have been suppressed that were very unpleasant that I just haven't thought about for years.
Yeah, that must be tough.
Yeah. No, it's definitely tough. It's scary. But if you can find the right fit, I would honestly highly recommend it. I know everyone has their, you know, different types of therapies that help them, but that's been really
beneficial.
That
sounds like stress too, though. It's like a stressful, everything is stress. You know, for somebody who doesn't like stress, even the therapy is stressful. What's going on? Yeah. Zach, what are you doing to everything we talked about is stressful. What are you doing to not stress? What are you guys doing?
Yeah, dude. I still swim. That's kind of my therapy for sure. Is like the de-stressor, not the stressful kind of therapy, yeah. But yeah. Really enjoy swimming. Utah is amazing, man. There's so many mountains. My wife and I, we love to go on drives, just get some fresh air. There's tons of deer here, which are awesome. They're just little harmless creatures that are kind of cute, honestly.
Okay, I was going to ask if you hunt them, but I guess your answer to that tells me you're not shooting them. Okay.
Yeah, dude, I'd feel so bad, honestly.
Right. But, you know, if somebody gave you a plated deer, you wouldn't mind. You just don't want to shoot it. Would you eat deer?
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, I take a little bite.
Yeah, the inside ain't cute. The outside is cute.
Yeah, and we actually have a park right across from our house, and that was kind of that determined why we got this house. It's just such as we love being outside and just, you know, getting fresh air.
Right, the park cross street, and you told me that you said it was built in the 50s, and they said somebody hung themselves in the kitchen, right?
Yeah, dude, it's got a lot of history. That's why the price tag was down.
Yeah.
Because rates are so high, man. That's how we got it.
Like, man, what a great deal. Like, oh, yeah, by the way, somebody killed themselves in the kitchen. All right, thanks for closing the deal. Hope you guys
I wouldn't be surprised. Like, every good deal out there that looks a little too good to be true, there's a reason why.
There's no such thing as a free meal. So there's things can be too good to be true. It's like, oh, yeah, by the way, there was a man killed his whole family in his house. By the way, okay, thank you. Thanks for buying.
We're definitely hanging out with some ghosts.
It's there was none of that in the house. You just got a good deal. That's what we said before the show.
So good.
Yeah. That's beautiful, man. So if anybody's an example of things can get better, it's definitely you, Zach. And like I said, I love to tell your story to other people, to be like, look at where this dude is at now. It's amazing. So if you haven't heard Zach's first episode, you got to go check it out. Zach, do you have any final words for everybody? Anything you want to say? We could stay as long as you want, as short as you want, whatever you got. Let's hear it.
Nah, dude, I'm so grateful to like be here talking to you today.
Thank you, man. It's really cool.
Like these types of moments are awesome because they'll live on the internet, right? And I can look back on this. It's just so cool to look back where you come from, and things are more clear. Hindsight 2020. But I guess advice I would give to someone who's just struggling, just like there's nothing I can tell you that'll fix it, but I just want to let you know that you have worth. Like you deserve to be here, and that negative voice that's telling you don't deserve to be here is a lie. And I'm just so proud of you. I think often we're our biggest critic. I struggled with that leading up to stopping my podcast, but there's ebbs and flows. You're doing great. You're doing better than you think. That's what I leave it as, is we all have challenges. We all have weaknesses, but I don't want to say cut yourself some slack because it's way easier said than done. But from me to you, I don't know you, but I'm really proud of you.
I don't need to say anything, because if I say anything else, I'm going to ruin it. So let me just say this, Zach, it was amazing to have you here. And, you know, if you haven't heard his last episode again, check it out. Peace and love. See you next time. I can't say anything because I can't top that. I can't top what you just did.